So, reading from Isaiah chapter 33, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion, that's Jerusalem, with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this. Now, let's just come up, and I'm going to say it once more. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is key to this treasure. That's a very interesting last bit, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is key to this treasure. Today, if that will scare you, but we're actually talking about the fear of the Lord. It's a great subject. In fact, it's throughout the Old and the New Testament. And there is a treasure that comes, this passage is saying. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. And the key to this treasure is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Now, this is not an old-fashioned negative subject. Don't worry, this is not a downer. As I said, the Bible's full of it. And it's described in the Bible as a great positive to life. In fact, it's of the highest importance. It's not about fire and brimstone. It's about a treasure. Now, we as a church and people, we've had it forced on us, a kind of Sabbath. Hasn't that been good? Has it been good? This force, it's had its problems along the way, but and unlike other places in the world, we can really say in Australia we can just see a great blessing in it. Other people are really having their struggles and we continue to pray for them. But I think for us, it's highlighted in many ways what is important or what is crucial or what is central. Because I think when you have everything stripped back, you kind of go, I can see a whole lot that's not important. Haven't we seen that? Has there been things that you've gone, you know, I was wasting some time on some stuff? And maybe if we're smart, we wouldn't pick them up. And then we come back together as a church, and we're starting to come back together, and we're gathering. Can we keep him and his kingdom at the centre? Because I think for me personally, it's just focused on my relationship with God and who he is and the glory of God himself has just come to the fore in this time. We're going to go back and play religious games. We're going to play church games because life is actually about him. It's about the Lord. Not because, like, I'm not forcing that on you. You see, that word treasure, it sums up something of our greatest peace, our greatest joy, our greatest satisfaction, our greatest purpose comes from simply knowing God, really knowing him and who he is. That's our greatest joy. And when we know him in all of his majesty, in all of his brilliance, we actually are more blessed, we're more at peace, we're more satisfied. So what is I'm going through about four different stages here. What's the fear of the Lord? Secondly, what happens when we don't fear God? Thirdly, what is the fear of the Lord producing us? And lastly, what does it mean for us today? Because that's really important, isn't it? Yeah? What is this going to do in us? Or is this just a bit more knowledge in this sermon? So what is the fear of the Lord? It comes from knowing him in all his glory. God is absolutely, I mean, we've been in Isaiah for about 8 weeks. If you read Isaiah, you get this picture of God, which is beyond picture. He is incredibly amazing. He is awesome in the word of awe-inspiring. He is breathtaking. Breathtaking is when, you know, where you go to speak and when you choke up. That's how great God is. He is like that. He is wonderful, we sing. How marvelous, how wonderful. There is none like him. There is no one that comes within anywhere like being 1% of him. And the fear of the Lord is quite simply that realization. When you realize and admit that he's everything. He's everything in our lives. And our lives and our destinies, our eternal destinies, are completely in his hands. Totally and utterly. That he's all powerful and we're in his hands. And in Isaiah 33, just before this bit, he says, at the thunder of your voice, the people flee. We went for a walk last year. Oh, it must have been this year, maybe, in January, out to Wagga. We were walking the dogs. There was Jodie and myself and Ned and Steph. And we were walking away from what we didn't realise was an incredibly black cloud. In fact, you know when black clouds go green? And you know, oh dear. But that was behind us. And we sort of walked for about maybe half a K, and we turned around and we went, oh dear. And it just gathered, it was this incredible, like, I don't know, it's hard to describe. And it sat right above us, and there's lightning and there's thunder. And I said to the others, we started walking back, this is incredible, can I get a photo? And they and at that point, everybody just did a runner for the car, literally run, and you got in the car in front of those moments where you go, you know that feeling? You flee. At that moment, I thought, as I was walking, and I'm sure the others did too, my life's in God's hands. Is today the day I die? I don't know that, but it's up to him. And then I thought, and what happens then? You've got to think that, don't you? Where am I with him? They're good questions to ask. They're questions about the fear of the Lord. If I faced up to God now, what would it be like? Now, if every moment of our lives we hold before ourselves the majesty of God, well, we don't, do we? We get lost in all sorts of other things, but thunder helps bring out the memory. Now, in the moment, our life, our destiny is completely in God's hands. And what I want to say to you this morning is this is a good thing. It is good to know this. It's good to know this for our families. It's good to know this for our friends. It's good to know this for our nation. It's good to know this because it's healthy. And it would be incredibly foolish not to know that. Do you remember there was two thieves on the cross next to Jesus? And at first they were both mocking him, and then maybe it's because Jesus held out his hands and let them be nailed, or maybe it's because he said, Father, forgive them, but something changed in one of those thieves. And the other one's still abusing Jesus. It's a strange thing to do when you're dying, isn't it? And then the second one says to the first one, don't you fear God? Have a look at the situation you're in. Probably rather than abusing somebody, it would be sensible if you thought of your relationship with God. That's kind of what he's saying. This is the day that maybe you should think about that. Well, he was thinking about it for himself, and he accepted Jesus as king, didn't he? And he repented. He said, you know, we've sinned, we've done wrong. He knew that. In that moment, don't you fear God? That would be an extremely smart thing to do, wouldn't it? To just acknowledge him as God of all. And then the darkness appeared over the whole land. Now, if you'd lived there, you'd think it'd be great if that was like a dark cloud that with lightning and thunder that made you go, hang on, should I think about something here? Maybe the fear of the Lord. Jesus said this in Luke 12, verse 4. He said, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Now, Jesus said that in the New Testament, by the way. Just making that point. In that the fear of the Lord is really central to who we it's central to what it is to be a Christian. Okay. Fear him who has ultimate control over your destiny. That's simply what it's saying. And this fear of the Lord, when the lightning said, you know, I'll go back to that feeling, that spine tingling. David said in Psalm 19, the fear of the Lord is pure. It's kind of a pure feeling. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like the thunder goes and drives out a whole lot of stuff out of your life. Do you know what I'm saying? It brings purity. It's unclouded. It brings an honest view of at least one moment. Unclouded. So, fear of the Lord is kind of this knowledge of who God is. And if you read the first six verses of Isaiah 33, which I haven't done, he says, there's a great destroyer coming. That's Assyria, the nation. But don't fear the destroyer. Fear the one who destroys the destroyer. Okay? He thunders, the people flee. He will bring his justice and righteousness. He is the firm foundation for your life. He is the store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. So fear him. And there's your treasure. It makes sense, isn't it? Whatever you face in your life, fear God, and there will be your treasure. And this fear of the Lord is actually a gift. In Isaiah 29:23, it says, When they see among them their children, the work of my hands, your children see the work of my hands, they will keep my name holy. They will acknowledge the holiness of the Holy One of Jacob, and they will stand in awe of the God of Israel. In other words, God gives us a gift. He does mighty works amongst us, and when we see them, we fear him, and that is a great gift to us. Okay. What I'm saying with that is, it's not for me to try and stand before you and make you feel guilty. That's what fire and brimstone is. I can't make you feel guilty. And that would be pointless if I did that. Or anyone else. Or if you tried to do it to yourself. That's not what the fear of the Lord's about. It's a gift he gives you by revealing his true character to you so that you know him. And then you love him. And everything in life kind of clicks into place and you know how it fits with him at the top. What happens when we don't fear the Lord, that's part two, is in Genesis 3 in the garden, the snake said to, or the devil said to Eve, you will surely not die. What that's saying is, you don't need to fear God. It doesn't matter. It won't matter. You can break his commandments. It won't matter. You can stand above him. It's all right. You can reject him. Doesn't matter. And where does that lead to? Well, actually, Isaiah speaks of the devil's rebellion in chapter 14. It says this. It's speaking about the king of Babylon, but the king of Babylon, who is like a type or a foreshadow or an example of what the devil was like. And it says this. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. The devil didn't want to accept that fear of God and put God as ruler of all. He said, I want to sit there. I want to sit enthroned. I want to be above the clouds, which is actually the heart of all sin, isn't it? And when humanity wants to be, in its lust for power, sinful nature, desires to be all powerful, to put ourselves in God's place. That's what happens when we sin. But what happens when we don't fear God? It happens like this. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's what happens. In other words, when we don't fear God, he becomes our opposition. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. When you know God as he truly is, what does it do to us? Humbles us. We become humble people. We're not the kings, and we don't try and be the kings. we say, you alone are God. That is a treasure of a place to be. Otherwise, we will be brought low. And in Romans 3, when you go through it, it's got this big list of sins, horrible sins. It's going to be like, this is what people like, this is what people like. And he sums it up. There's going to be lies and murder and hatred and bitterness. And then he finishes in Romans 3:18, and he says, there's no fear of God before their eyes. That's what, when there's no fear of God, lies, bitterness, lust, all sorts of sin just come out. That's what happens. It's like, you know how the Holy Spirit is like a fountain of living water? Not fearing the Lord is like a fountain of non-living water. It's just dirt and muck, and it's bitterness, and it's poison, and it's hatred, and it comes from not fearing God. And last week, we heard about Jesus, and it said of Jesus in Isaiah 11:3, it said, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He delights in him. In fact, the Hebrew there says something like, he will delight in the aroma, as in the aroma of the scent. He will delight in the aroma of the fear of the Lord. He loves it. Jesus loves that. He delights in the fear of the Lord. But when you don't fear God, then you go down a very polluted path, which is poisonous and ends in death. So, point three, what does the fear of the Lord produce in us? I've said it already, it produces humility. Secondly, it produces holiness. It produces faith. We know. If we know he's everything, then we trust in him. We rely on him. We turn to him. We pray to him. Prayer is just a sign of trust, isn't it? It's a sign that he can do what we can't do. Otherwise, we wouldn't ask, would we? So we ask because we know he can. The fear of the Lord, knowing that our eternal destiny is in his hands completely, brings us great blessings. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you want to have true knowledge in this world, if you have God first, knowledge will make sense. If you study a subject and have the fear of the Lord first, that knowledge will be richer and full. And then he says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom flows through you when you have God where it's supposed to be. It brings all of that. In Proverbs 3, verse 7, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. That computer's done something. If you want to look. Fear the Lord, shun evil, and this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Sorry. It's wanting to do updates. We'll continue on. Can you see that? When you fear the Lord, you will shun evil. Okay? In other words, evil will be left behind.
Yeah, little ones.
That's good. As long as they can still see me. You can still see me. Yeah. I'll say it again. Fear the Lord, shun evil. When you fear the Lord, you will become holy. Evil will be driven out of your life. Not by you having to stop evil. God will drive it out. And that will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. That's actually talking about, well, let's say it. Talking about physical health. You're going to become strong as you fear the Lord. And you're going to rot away when you don't. It will make your life solid. You'll have a firm foundation. Because the fear of the Lord brings holiness, because it brings humility, and which causes repentance and faith and trusting in the Lord. Now, I started with verse 7 there, but you know that verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. See what they're saying? When you fear the Lord, you will shun evil. He will bring you to that. You'll trust in him. And then it goes on after that, in Proverbs 3, to speak about, so accept the Lord's discipline, as you accept your father's discipline. And Hebrews quotes that same passage and says, and that will produce a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who accept it. Can you see what I'm saying? As you fear the Lord, God's shaping you. That's what this produces in your life. And it causes you, it drives evil from your life. You don't drive evil from your life. Fear the Lord, look to him, and he will drive evil from your life. That's really important. So it brings a harvest of holiness, trust, humility. These things are treasures. They are treasure. They are gold. Now, what does this mean to us? Now, I'm repeating some things here, of course, but God alone is God. He alone is holy and majestical, powerful, glorifying. Point one is quite simply, humble yourself before him. Do that all the time. Point two, know that he holds your destiny in his hands. And find peace in that. Because the same one who holds your destiny in his hands is the one who sent his son to die for you. So he holds you in his hands. But it's not he holds you in his hands. He holds you in his loving hands. And he sent his son to die for you. To take away that pride and self-centeredness. Point three is, as we fear him, we will naturally bear witness to him. Do you know that? We won't be worried about the opinions of men. Because it said, don't fear this one down low, fear this one up high. Okay? So in other words, what other people think of us will no longer become, because when we don't fear God, one of the things in our lives that happens is we just become incredibly obsessed with other people's opinions of us. And it's always in our mind. What is so-and-so thinking of me now? What is so-and-so thinking of me? Put God first. Fear of the Lord will drive those things out. And so Paul says something like this, 2 Corinthians 5:11, he didn't say something like this, he actually says this. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it's also plain to your conscience. To fear God, not to fear men, means that we're able to proclaim Jesus. Because we're not worried about those we proclaim to. In fact, we know that God will actually do a work in them. Okay. Shun evil. That's point four. Shun evil. And point five, submit to his discipline. But this last point is the one I want to really just spend a bit of time on, and that's this. I'm looking at Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. Says, assemble the people, men, women and children. This is to Moses. And the aliens living in your town, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God. And follow carefully all the words of his law. Their children, who do not know this law, must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God. As long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Now if you hear that, it said the fear of the Lord, but it said this. Learn. Learn the fear of the Lord. How might you learn the fear of the Lord? And in other words, this is something that's going to grow in you. It's going to be something that's going to become part of you. And quite simply, actually, for us, the greatest way we can learn the fear of the Lord is through reading Scripture. It is so important as you study and learn Scripture, as you remember it. We can be really rebellious. Jodie and I read this book by John Piper. It's about when you don't desire God, how to find joy. And he spent this incredibly long amount of time telling us to read Scripture every day to memorize it. Now, it's a good point, isn't it? Memorizing Scripture, reading Scripture. And as I was reading it, I thought, I agree with him. I know he's right. However, I'm not going to do it because he said it. When I come to it myself, then I'm going to do it, not because he said it. And then I thought, why am I saying that? Because I know I can work it out myself. I don't need someone else to tell me what I know is true, because I know it's true. And I had to come to this point where I go, no, he's saying what's true, which is actually of the Spirit of God. Listen and learn and let God speak to you through his Scripture, which is incredibly rich. And then when you learn scripture, something funny happens is if you start memorizing it, and you memorize, say, a verse, and then another day another verse, and you continue on through a passage, suddenly thoughts will come into your head which weren't there before, which used to be other thoughts which you didn't need. God replaces them, and then you're talking to someone, and suddenly that verse means something to that conversation, because it's like God's filling up. He is causing you to be filled with this fear, the fear of the Lord, and shunning evil and driving out of the stuff. And he actually does an amazing thing. We learn scripture. I really, really want to encourage you this. This is rich. As you learn scripture, you'll learn who God is. And as you learn who God is, you'll fear him, and you'll put all of life will fit into its right place. Okay? It's really, really valuable. Just entertain the thought, but maybe just give it a go. Just for 1 week. Just that's all. 1 week. And then if you find I'm wrong, just come and slap me on the face and go. Okay. God said this to Moses in Deuteronomy 6. And I love this. He says, and we know this passage anyway, but it says, "These are the commands, the decrees, the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you and observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, to be careful to obey, so that it will go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." There's your commandments. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you drive along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Have the scripture in your heart. Let it be the thing you talk about when you're driving down the road. If you're with your kids, talk about scripture. Put it on your wall. Put it on your doorpost so you see it every time you walk through. Can you see? Why? Because it's going to teach you to fear the Lord, and it's going to go well with you. Your life is going to be full of joy and richness and satisfaction, because he is doing something in you through this, which is amazing, which is what you were created for. So memorize it. Learn it. Value it above all else. Or if Paul, maybe this is a different way of saying it, Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, work on it, people, and it will be rich. And finally, the last point, which I don't know what number it is, says, fear God. This is Revelation 14. Fear God and give him the glory, because the hour of judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Worship God. What happens when we fear God is that we're drawn to worship, because he is incredibly amazing. Right, I'm going to pray. Father, I pray that by your Spirit you would take this message and cause it to come alive in us. I pray that it would be real to us, that we might live in the treasure that you give us, as we know you, who you truly are, and as we live in all the fullness it is to know you. And I pray, Father, that we would be men and women who learn to fear you, who learn to hold you up, to exalt you, to be humble and full of faith, because you alone are God. And Father, by your Spirit, I pray that you would teach us to love your word, scripture. I pray that you would bring us such life as we read. And I pray this.